until I receive that thought, a word, a scripture that I know is from God, I move forward. And this word came to me as I kept thinking about Wednesday prayer. I kept thinking about what do we need. I kept thinking about all that God had done. And the word kept coming to me and kept coming to me and kept coming to me. So I know it's a word that really has to do with where we're at. Amen. With where we're at. And right now, I want to share this quote. Amen. I want to share this quote, and it's dealing with this verse. Amen. It's going to deal with this verse and really to prepare our hearts. Amen. Because how many know our hearts need to be prepared? There's a scripture is found in the book of, I want to say, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, I believe. And it says, break open the fallow ground. And in order for God's word to fall into our hearts the right way and produce that fruit, it's got to be prepared. It's got to be made ready. So I'm just going to take some time and share this and then go into the verse. But I'm going to share this quote. It says, to know God's will is life's greatest treasure. How many want to know God's will? Right? To know God's will is life's greatest treasure. But then it says, to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. Amen. It's life's greatest pleasure. I'm going to just pray in as I continue. Right there where I close your eyes and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before you once again. We love you and thank you. We give you all glory and honor. I ask once again that you simply speak through me. You move me to the side. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you may have your way. Show up and have us deliver this message, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say amen and amen. I'm going to read that quote one more time. It says, to know God's will is life's greatest treasure, but to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. And I really want to speak about doing what God has wanted us to do. But within that, as we do what God has wanted us to do, I'm here to tell you that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. How many believe that? That God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And as I share this portion of scripture, I just want to let you know that God has always wanted to do something, but is requiring the right time. I titled this message, Do or Die. Amen. Do or Die. And I'm going to get into it here as I go to the Bible, the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 12. I'm reading from the NIV version, and it reads like this. It says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do you think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And as I read that verse, I really believe that God is really trying to speak to you and I. I really believe that God's trying to speak to the church here this night. That God wants to speak to Victory Outreach Milwaukee, but more specifically in the time we're in. Because how many know that we're in a special time, but time is everything. Amen. Time matters, right? They say that we live in a generation where we can't wait and we want everything now. And the microwave is not fast enough, and we hate waiting, and we don't have patience. There's an elevator where we work, and certain elevators take longer, and we can't even wait for the elevator. Nowadays, the elevator is not fast enough, right? We skip the stairs, we go to the elevator, and even that's not fast enough. But here this night, God desires to do something special. How many believe that? God desires to do something special. And there's a time that is taking place. But within that, we need to make those proper adjustments within the right time. And I simply put here that something needed to be done, that every time there's a need, God raises up a people. Every time there's a need, that God raises up a people. And here within this story, that's what happened. There was a need there that needed to be met. So God gave Esther a position that she could meet. And real quick, as I share the background story within that portion of scripture, What was going on is that Esther was just a common person. Amen. A common girl. And how many know that we're all common? Amen. And as she was there, she got a privilege. She got an opportunity that no one else has. She got a simple opportunity to be next to the king. And real simple, we have that same opportunity. We have that same opportunity. And it's a simple story, simple background of the nation of Israel who were in captivity. They had lost their promise, and now they had to pay the price. In other words, there were consequences to their actions. And it's the same thing within our lives, that there's consequences, whether good or bad, to whatever we do. It was a story of favor shown to a person that didn't deserve it. It was a story of favor shown to a person who didn't deserve it. How many know that favor is not fair? Amen. But we like it when God shows his favor within our lives. And here we see that Esther got the opportunity of a lifetime by being queen to the king within that time. But what I want to point out is this opportunity, it came with a purpose. And how many know that we've been saved? The Bible says that we've been saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. The Bible says as any man should boast. But it doesn't stop there, because we've been saved with a purpose. We've been saved with a plan and a calling within our lives. And that's why I love that quote, because it says to know God's will is life's greatest treasure, but to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. And how many know that our calling is to fulfill God's will? That's our calling, is to fulfill God's will. And here, not just in Christianity, but or not just in this ministry, but all over the world, we have a plan and a purpose within our lives. And there's a purpose within our lives that purpose only unravels itself through this area called prayer. That purpose only unravels itself through this area called prayer. And that's what I hope to share, that here within this story, as Esther became queen, there was something that happened there. There was a man named Haman, and he didn't like what was going on, so he decided to draw up a plan. And his plan was simply to get rid of all God's people. And here this night, how many know there's an enemy that is still trying to get rid of God's people? Amen. There's an enemy that's still trying to get rid of God's people. So Esther got the opportunity of a lifetime to be next to the king. And the Bible says that we can approach the throne of grace with a boldness. The Bible says we can approach the throne of grace with a confidence. And here within the story, we see that while Esther was being blessed and while Esther was being taken care of, she was, in other words, that all her needs were being met, the enemy was still at work. Amen. The enemy was still at work. And here this night, though all our needs are being met, though we may have all that we need, the enemy is still at work. Amen. The enemy is still at work. And that's something I think we can forget at times. That's something that I think at times we don't look at and we don't notice, because our needs are being met. And because our needs are being met, we can forget really the plan and the purpose that God has within our lives. And here within the story, Esther was there. She was of Jewish descent. And within that background, the people of God, the Jewish nation, as they had gotten exiled. Amen. Within the Bible, they had gotten exiled because first they were fulfilling God's purposes. They got rescued out of Egypt, and God took them to the desert, and they came into the promised land, and then they started conquering land, and God gave them the king, and they were doing good, and they were prospering. But then the kings became wicked and evil, and God kept warning them, and then finally God said, if you don't change, you're going to be sent away. And this is where we're at, that they were sent away, they were exiled. And we see where Esther was there, and God had raised her up for an opportunity, the Bible says, for an opportunity for such a time as this. And here within the story, we come to find out, as the enemy is still at work, that we can't forget what we have. We can't forget why we were saved. We can't really forget why we were saved. And I want to just make this connection to this area called prayer, of why we were saved and how we find out our plan, how we most of all fulfill that plan and our purpose for our lives. As we see that there was a need that needed to be met, God placed Esther right there to meet that need. There was a need. There was a man who named Haman, and just real simple, he wanted just to eliminate all of God's people. So God decided to use Esther. And within our lives, God still wants to use you and I here this night, because there is a need within the inner city. Amen. There's still a need within the outside these walls. There's still a need that needs to be met. But God wants to use you and I. There is no other option. Amen. There is no other option. And I think sometimes we can forget that. And that we can come and we can be comfortable. And I think we can forget what the need is. Amen. That's why we still go out and we hit the streets on Sundays. Amen. We still go out and we evangelize because there's a need. Amen. There's a need. And that's just something that I want to point out, that we can never really forget of what God wants to do in us and through us. I simply put it here, how many are better today than the first day we got saved? Amen. I believe that we're all better today than the first day we got saved. We're all better today than the first day we walked through these doors. But as we go on and as we grow within our lives or within Christianity, there's a missing link that we can't forget of what God brought us out of. But to accomplish His purposes, we came back from the convention and there was many preachings. And one of the points that I caught shared by Pastor Paul Lloyd, he said that we were delivered to be a deliverer. And that's what's going on within this story. That God wanted to deliver Esther, to raise her up, just to simply be a deliverer. And here within our lives, that's who we are. Because we've been delivered, but to be a deliverer. Amen. How many know that we've all been delivered? That we're no longer on drugs, we're no longer lost and bound, that we're no longer that person we used to be, but that it doesn't stop there. That now God wants to use our lives. That now God wants to use us. So we have to learn to look past ourselves. Look past sometimes, a lot of times, our own flaws. And know that there's a need. And I believe the enemy does a good work. The enemy does his best to take us off track and not to see the need. Because if he does that and he takes our eyes, our focus off the need, then we forget the plan and the purpose that God had for our lives. And that's where we find ourselves within this portion of Scripture. Chapter 4, verse 12, it says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. In other words, Esther was there and she was being taken care of. She had all her needs. Everything she had, everything she wanted was there. But there was still a plan that the enemy wanted to get rid of all the Jews, all of God's people. So Mordecai sent a reply and said, don't think that just because you have all your needs met, don't think just because you're at that position that you're still going to be okay. That the enemy's still going to have his way. And I believe here this night that at times we can forget what God has called us out of. That we can forget the purpose that God has for our lives. And if we forget that, that we allow the enemy to have his way, that we allow the devil to come into our lives, to come into our family, to come into our children. And that's what was going on within this portion of Scripture, that he was saying, don't get too comfortable. Because how many know that at times we can get very comfortable? I know I can get comfortable. That's why I love our men's home. Continues to keep me stirred. Continues to just challenge me. He said, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. In other words, he was almost like if he was saying, just because you're saved doesn't mean all our problems go away. How many know that just because we're saved, not all our problems go away? I think that sometimes when we're saved, we find out we got more problems. Right? Our problems called self, and our problems called pride, and our problems called this, and our problems called marriage. No, I was just joking. But when we get saved, all our problems don't go away. Because it's a walk with the Lord that we got to continue, and it's a walk with the Lord that we must carry on. And that's what Mordecai was trying to tell Esther. Just because you're there doesn't mean everything's going to be okay. That just because you're there, don't forget really why God placed you there. And here within our church, within Victory Outreach Milwaukee, God has placed us here for a specific time, a specific task, and a specific purpose that individually, that we must all fill. In other words, it's almost like he was trying to say, just because we go to church doesn't mean we have it all figured out. How many know that that's a misconception at times, that people think that just because people go to church, that church should be perfect? I believe we've all heard that. That people say, no, I don't want to go to church and this and that, and they think that church has to be perfect. That a lot of people believe that the church shouldn't have any problems. But the church is made up of you and I, of people who are trying to fix our problems through Jesus. And that's all that we need to know, that as we continue to come and to acknowledge and recognize that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, then we will get better. We will grow, as the Bible says, to the knowledge and likeness of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's almost like he was trying to say, just because we say yes to Christ does not mean the devil's going to leave us alone. Right? Just because we confess with our mouth that Jesus is saved and we believe in our hearts doesn't mean the devil's going to leave us alone. How many know the devil's real? Right? And he has horns and a pitchfork and a tail. No, we don't know what he looks like. But the devil's real. And just because we serve the Lord, or just because we go to church, or we say yes to Jesus, it doesn't mean the devil's going to stop doing his work. Doesn't mean that the devil's just going to back off. If anything, he's going to get even closer. He's going to test our waters. He's going to knock at our doors. He's going to bang at our windows. And if anything, he's going to do even more just to see if you could eliminate that plan and purpose. If we could eliminate really what God wants to do within our lives. And if we forget our plan, our calling, that's all he wants. Before you know, we just go backwards. Verse 14 goes on to say, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. I'm going to just stop there before I go forth. He was letting Esther know that if you remain silent, and that's one of the works that the enemy is good at doing. And I was sharing this on Wednesday, that how many of the devil wants us to remain silent. Devil's good at letting us know that we shouldn't share a testimony, remaining silent in many ways, or not opening up, not believing or trusting our pastor. The devil's good at making us remain silent. And here Mordecai was simply letting her know that if she remained silent, that deliverance was going to come from another place. And I just want to connect here, the symbolism of remaining silent is not speaking up, but the symbolism to me simply meant no prayer. And I believe at times, I mean, we can struggle in our prayer life. I've struggled in my prayer life many times. I think I still struggle to this day. A lot of times I want to wake up and refresh and say, I want to get into prayer, but I still struggle. I still wake up and forcing myself to get into prayer. I still wake up and I struggle. But I know that I need to get into prayer. I know that I have to get into prayer. Because my life depends on it. My marriage depends on it. My ministry depends on it. Everything I do depends on this area called prayer. And that's why I refuse to remain silent. Amen. I refuse to remain silent in this area called prayer. And I believe that in Christianity at large, it's a large group of professing Christians, people, or whatever the case may be, that I believe maybe not just their prayer life is struggling, but they may not even have a prayer life. They just wake up and go to work and wake up and go through the motions and wake up, or even if there is a prayer life. Right? Prayer life should be thriving. That our prayer life should be growing. That our prayer life should be exciting. Amen. That once we get in there, we should be encouraged. Amen. I walk out of prayer. I went to the mighty men of valor, and I say, God, I don't want to leave this place the same. Amen. And preaching after preaching and devotion and powerful time and altar call. But at every altar call, I think my prayer remained the same. And I say, God, I don't want to leave this place the same. Right? Don't let me just go back and do the same thing. But I know that God has done something within me. I know that God did a special work that I can't put my finger on, but I know He's doing something new. And here within this portion of Scripture, God still wants to do something within our lives. But it comes through this area called prayer that I believe we can all struggle in at times. And I believe the enemy is always trying to pull away and pull away and pull away. I think I shared this one time. I heard it, but it's true in that portion of Scripture in Job. When Job lost all his family and lost all his finances, and the devil attacked him, the first thing the devil attacked was the livestock. And in that, when you read the Old Testament, what the livestock represented wasn't necessarily finances or money, but it represented what he had to offer to worship. In other words, it represented that Job could no longer worship the Lord. So the devil came and attacked his prayer life first. And then from then on, everything else went. And that's what the devil tries to do, is attack our prayer life. And that's why this portion of Scripture says, if you remain silent, relief will come from another place. And we shouldn't remain silent. God wants to send relief through us. But He always has something else in mind if we remain silent. There's an old saying that goes, no prayer, or to me it meant no prayer, no power. The opposite is true. Much prayer, much power. Amen. I love just praying for people and just knowing that God is leading me. I love when I pray for people and just knowing that God has placed something there, but the opposite is true. Sometimes I pray for people and I'm like, God, you know, I'm going through it myself. Or sometimes I have to force myself just to get into that area and pray for others, but knowing that I still need prayer myself. But prayer is very vital within our lives. I just love that feeling of knowing when I've spent so much time with the Lord that my mind is okay, that I have a clear conscience, that I went before the Lord, and that I want to pray for people. But that comes as we continue and continue and continue and spend that time with the Lord. Where He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. Even here this day, we were there at work, and there's a brother that he talks to us and he just shares. Amen. And he kind of sometimes confides, and he was sharing with us that he was going to Puerto Rico and he was going to do a little bit of mission work. And I was just listening to him. I wasn't thinking anything spiritual. I was just listening to him. And I kept getting the thought to pray for him. And one of the brothers from the home was there. And just kept getting the thoughts. I just, amen, praise the Lord. I just told him and I stopped him. I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I just prayed for him. Because I knew that it was just from the Lord and that God has something for him. And God has something for all our lives. But it's through this avenue called prayer. There's a saying that goes, I don't know who said it, but there's a saying that goes that no man is above his prayer life. And I try to live by this standard. Amen. No man is above his prayer life. And that's just something that I try to place myself before. Amen. That I evaluate my own prayer life. And that I always do this. I always ask myself, how is my prayer life? I always ask myself, am I a model to the men? Should I pray more? How should I pray? And there's different areas. There's different avenues of prayer. I've shared before. And that's why it's important to come to our Wednesday night prayer nights. Amen. When we come and we just get a hold of the Lord, we just get a hold of Jesus. We forget about everything and we truly pray, we cry out, we truly believe that God can cleanse us, that God continues to heal us. And I just stay amazed, really, at God's grace upon our lives. I stay amazed at how much God pours out His grace, how much God pours out His love, and how much God pours out His mercy within our lives that we don't deserve. How many know that none of us deserve His grace? On our best day, the Bible says that our best works, I don't even want to quote that scripture, but we don't deserve really what God pours out within our lives. When I get into the area of prayer and I ask God to forgive me and I ask God to cleanse me, and then I say, God, I can't believe that You forgive me. Sometimes I just sit there in prayer and I just say, wow, God, You forgive me and You forgive me and You forgive me. And really to put my mind and think of that area of how much God forgives us. But it comes once again just simply to this area called prayer. I just put here, remaining silent is what the enemy wants us to do. Not praying is the language of the enemy. I wrote this down and I looked at it and I said, does this make sense? But I wrote it down. It says, I put, I'm not a Christian because I pray, but I pray because I'm a Christian. That's our prayer life. Amen. Prayer life is vital. Before I get into this next area, I just want to share this area. Amen. I want to share just how God opened this door for Esther to be used and to be in a position where she could rescue God's people. Because how many know that we're all in a position really to rescue God's people? Amen. We're all in a position to rescue God's people. And it could be anybody. It could be our family, our friends, our neighbors. But as we fulfill that purpose, it comes to the area called holiness. Amen. It comes to the area called holiness. And in chapter 3, verse 2, if you can go there, chapter 3, verse 2, that same man, he wanted everyone to bow down and receive worship. But what was going on is Mordecai didn't bow down. And he didn't worship the man named Haman. It says there that all the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman. For the king had commanded this concerning him, but Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Simply put, what I just got from that area is that the enemy or the devil within our lives wants to steal the worship that belongs to God. He just simply wants to steal the true and proper worship that belongs to the Lord. And he can do this in many ways. He could do this as we can worship anything. We can worship money and our job. We can worship our spouse. We can worship ourselves. And here we see that this man, he wanted all the worship. He wanted people to bow down to him. And that's what the enemy wants within our lives. He wants us to bow down to him in fear and reverence and whatever you want to call it. But as we continue to live for the Lord, it's important to stay separated from the world. It's just important to stay holy. Holy is just a word that it just really means being separated for God. That's the simplest meaning. It really only says being separated for God. In other words, Mordecai did not worship the enemy. Mordecai stood his ground. He made a statement that said, I'm not going to worship the enemy. He made a statement. He said, I'm not going to worship the enemy. The enemy wants to steal our worship. We know who he was. Before he got cast down, he was the worshiper in heaven. That's why it's important, the things that we listen to and worldly music. I'm not going to talk about that now. But he wants to steal the worship that's due to God. So he makes us worship all these things. And he deceives us to worship, as I said earlier, whether it's money or people, him or her. But within this portion of scripture, Mordecai stayed holy. In other words, he knew that only God deserved all the worship, and he abstained from worshiping the world. And that's an important thing that within our lives, as we pray and we fast and we seek the Lord, it's important that we remain separated. And I believe that's how God used Esther and Mordecai, because they remained in position. And that's a key value, a key aspect that within all our lives, and I know myself especially, is just simply to remain in position. How many know it's important just to remain in position here this night through the trials or through struggles or through whatever the enemy wants to do, that we must remain in position? Because within this story, if Esther wouldn't have remained in position, or Mordecai wouldn't have remained in position, if they decided to worship the enemy, then God could not use their lives. It's important that we remain in position for God to use our lives. And there, what the enemy was trying to do was eliminate God's people. The scripture is fulfilled where it says, what the enemy meant for evil, God can use for good. And here this night, we can't forget that, yes, the devil's trying his best, but sometimes we need to remember that what the enemy means for evil, God can always use for good. And that's what we see within this portion of scripture, that God decided to do something with that area. God decided to do something good, because one man refused to worship the enemy because they remained in position. God had a plan. And here this night, how many know that God had a plan, has a plan within all our lives? And you and I are God's plan as we remain holy. You and I are simply God's plan as we remain obedient. And as I was thinking about that portion of scripture, is through one person, through Esther, through Mordecai, that God saved an entire nation. And within our lives, we still hear about it. How from 1967, God used one man and one couple to raise up and to save hundreds, thousands of lives. And even here within our very own church, how it was through one man and one couple that we're here. And it's the very same thing that God still wants to do within all our lives, that we don't know really how many lives God wants to reach through our lives. That we do matter. The last portion of that verse, as we go to chapter 4, verse 12. Verse 14, it says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your families, your father's family will perish." But the last portion says, "And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." And really what I just want to share is that we have the same opportunity. Amen. As we have still that same opportunity just to respond, as Esther responded, and God used her just to save a nation, that we still have that same opportunity here this day, that we can't really forget of what God wants to do. That we can't really forget that God has placed us here for such a time as this. And it's vital within our lives, really, of what God wants to do. I know I shared this, but a scripture is found, I believe, and I didn't write this down, but it's found in 1 Peter 2:9, where it says that we are now God's royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. We're God's very own special possession. So we still have that same opportunity to be used of the Lord in a special way. And just as Esther had access to the king, we as well still have access here this night to the king. I just believe something that we can't forget, something that we really can't forget, that we have access to for all our needs to be met through this area called prayer. And that's why I just simply titled this message, it's called Do or Die, because really in her life, there was a choice to be made whether she was going to respond and answer the call of God of why she got placed there, or ultimately she would not have lived at all. Within our lives, the spiritual is true. That if we don't respond to the answer, if we don't respond to the calling that God has for our lives, that we could spiritually die. That we can spiritually withdraw. And with my life, that's one of the reasons why I left everything when I got saved there in Chicago. That's one of the reasons why I just left. Family, friends, lifestyle, everything I knew. Because I knew that if I didn't respond, I would die spiritually. And to me, I didn't want to go back. To me, it just simply represents, I didn't want to go back and serve the world and continue doing the same things and partying and drinking and the same friends. And I had to make a choice whether it was to serve the Lord or really to die spiritually and just remain that same person. That's why I'm here this day. That's really why I'm here sharing this. Because I just said yes, and I answered the call. And then God is able to use me. I know that this portion of scripture came way differently on Wednesday. I tied it to the time. I tied it differently. But here this night, I believe God just wants to do what he wants to do. But I want to put up that picture. And here within that picture, you can kind of see it, what it is. And my wife took that picture. We were in prayer. And that's something that I believe that Esther had in mind. And I believe that's something that we can't forget. That it's not just only for ourselves, but there's another generation the Bible speaks, or even within our own lives. And to me, I just want to share that picture because there's nothing more that I love but just being in prayer and just being able to have my daughter there with me. I know I said this before, but I say to little Genesis, I say, pray for daddy. And she lifts up her hands and she's just there and it's almost like she's praying. But this is an area where, to me personally, I feel that if we miss this area and if we don't respond, as the Bible says, that relief will come from someone else. But the last portion that says, but who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? And within our lives, that's how I kind of really want to share. That God has something special within all our lives. That who knows what God wants to do. That's why we're here and that's why we're saved. To fulfill God's plan and God's purpose within our lives. Amen. We can all stand here this night. Amen. What I'm going to do is right there where I'm just going to pray out. Amen. I know that this message is a lot shorter usually. Amen. And usually I yell and I scream. Amen. But really it's just a simple point that God has a plan but and a purpose within our lives. But for us to fulfill that plan, we can't really forget of why God rescued us. And we can't really forget this area called prayer. That as we remain in prayer, that God uses our lives as we remain in prayer, that it's in that time of prayer, God is able to fix many things. Because how many know we need a lot of things fixed within our lives? I know I do. Amen. I can say that I have a lot of areas, and I've come to find out the closer I get to the Lord, the more problems I have, the closer I get to the Lord, it's like the more insecurities I have that I thought were never there. But it only makes me remain in this area called prayer to fulfill his plan and his calling within our lives. But I just wanted to share that because I believe at times we can forget what it's all about. And here's the story read that he said, don't think just because you're there that everything's going to be okay. And within our lives, don't think just because we have money or the bills are paid or we come to church that at times we think everything's going to be okay. Unless we fulfill that plan and that calling, and unless we answer the call and say yes to God, our troubles are going to be with us. But we just simply take our troubles to Jesus. We just simply carry our troubles with us and take them to the Lord. And that's all I do every day. Wake up. How many problems I got? And I give them all to Jesus. And I go another day, and I go another day, and I battle, and I attack, and I go forth a step at a time, a moment at a time, a minute at a time, an hour at a time, just moment by moment. But never forgetting that if I opt out, if I don't get into this area called prayer, then I lose focus. And then I begin to forget. And relief will come from somewhere else. But within our lives, it's just a simple story that I shared here of what God wants to do within our lives. But the overall is as we get into this area called prayer. That's why he said, for such a time as this, that there's a specific time. There's a lot. And I didn't really share the promises and the third wave. I didn't really share that. But just really what God wants to do through this avenue. Amen. That's called prayer. Right there, we'll rather just close our eyes. And amen, as we close our eyes, we're just really going to, I want us to think right now. I want us to think of this area called prayer. Amen, as we think of this area called prayer, really how much we can ask. And as we think how much we can receive and really how much God wants to give all our lives. We can think of God's grace, of how much God has been good to us. How much God always loves us, that no matter what can be going on, he never leaves us. That at times we can forget and we draw back. But it's in that area of prayer that no matter how long it takes or how hard it is, or we may not understand, but it's in that area called prayer that God gives faith, that God gives courage, that God gives understanding, that God gives many things. So I want to let you know that I'm not ready for the hits. I'm just willing to take hits. There's no such thing as being ready. We just got to be willing. And as we're willing to get into the area of prayer, God continues to develop a man of God, a woman of God, a youth of God. But without this area, we will always struggle and we can forget what God has called us to do. Amen. I want to pray, our Father, right now. We just love you and thank you, and we give you all glory and all honor. And Lord, I just pray as we heard your word and your message within this area. And Lord, I just ask that that's how it came out, that it just ministers and falls in good ground. And Lord, I pray by faith that it was exactly the way you wanted it to do, that it continues to minister, and that we don't forget of what you've called us to do. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray, and we all say, amen.